Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Like you, I have probably heard this account from Scripture many times, and many times I've heard it probably trivialized to be all about whether or not to have bake sales in the narthex. I've heard lots of explanations, but I never really could get a handle on why Jesus just basically flipped out this day. He comes into the temple, he sees what's going on, and he overturns the tables and chases the animals out of the temple. What's going on there? Some of the different explanations seem to fall short for me. First of all, it's called the cleansing of the temple. I don't know that he is cleansing anything. I don't know that he's cleaning or straightening up or anything along those lines. In fact, he seems to be exposing it as something that shouldn't exist at all. He is saying, I suspect, by his actions, that the temple is no more. For instance, some would say, well, Jesus just got angry. He got angry when he saw all of this going on, the money changers and the animals in the court of the Gentiles. But angry? It doesn't say that Jesus got angry. The word isn't used. It does say that zeal for the Father's house consumed him, but zeal and anger are two different things. And it doesn't sound like Jesus to me to be angry. I used to think sometimes that it was then righteous anger. Maybe he is righteously angry about what's going on there. But then I've thought, you know, righteous anger, let me think. Oh, I've had that. Righteous anger is when I think my position is so much better than those despicable other people. And then I'm in a position to already start to say things and do things and think things that are very unrighteous. And that doesn't sound like Jesus either. Perhaps Jesus was just being impulsive, right? He just flipped off the handle, you know, at the drop of a pin here. But that's not how he's described in John's gospel. In fact, in John's gospel, everything Jesus does has a purpose. In fact, everything that Jesus does is part of a plan. He is in control from beginning to end, because you see, his life, death, and resurrection in John's gospel is completely according to God's plan for salvation. Top it off, this is listed as one of Jesus' signs in John. The signs are intended purposefully to show who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Messiah. So Jesus isn't being impulsive here either. Perhaps the most popular explanation is that Jesus is upset about the sheer commercialism going on in the temple. You know, the money changers changing coins. What they would do is, you know, people would come from all over the world, and they would have different currencies. They wanted to bring sacrifice to the temple. But, of course, they're not going to take a cow or a lamb or a goat and put it in their bags and carry it with them or put it on their backs as they travel. They would come to the temple and they would purchase those animals for sacrifice. So that's part of the system. That's how it worked, that people would come to the temple, they would purchase animals, sheep and goats and lambs if you had funds, if you were poor, doves or pigeons. Even Jesus himself, when he was a baby, Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple. They purchased a couple turtle doves and offered sacrifice. Jesus knew that that's how the temple worked. So what? No, that doesn't seem to ring true either. So what's Jesus really doing here? I would suggest to you that what Jesus is doing is not just saying that there's something wrong with the commercialism or what's happening in the temple. I think what he's saying is that the temple no longer is needed. He is the one who will replace that temple. destroy this temple, he says, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He isn't just talking about revising things. He's talking about overturning all of that sacrificial temple thing completely. He's condemning the whole system and replacing it. Jesus takes his cue from the prophets. For instance, many of the prophets condemned temple sacrifice, saying that, you know, coming with your prayers and your hypocritical attitudes and not living what you say you believe, you know, God doesn't desire that. God desires instead, according to the psalmist, a broken and contrite heart. Or according to Amos, God desires justice and righteousness and walking humbly with God. Or Isaiah, that what God desires is not sacrifice, but that the oppressed be set free, that you break every yoke, that you share your bread with the hungry, that you bring the homeless poor into your house, and when you see the naked, to cover them. Jesus is very much in that line of the prophets, condemning this whole system of the temple and replacing it with something better. And what Jesus offers that better is himself. Think of this. The temple in Jerusalem is considered in Old Testament times to be where God was most powerfully present. That's where God resided. You remember the Holy of Holies in the center of the temple? That's where God's presence was most powerfully present. That's where God was. And when the high priest would go in there on the Day of Atonement, you know, he would be the only one who could get close to the presence of God. And if for some reason he hadn't confessed all his sins and made the proper oblations, they wrapped a golden rope around his waist so that if God struck him dead, they could pull the body back out. That's where God was, in that temple, in Jerusalem, on that mountain. That's where God was. And how do you interact with God? You bring sacrifices. You know, kind of an interaction, a trading arrangement. I bring my sacrifice, you forgive my sins. I bring my offerings, you forgive me and bless me. I do things for you, you do things for me. Quid pro quo. That's how the relationship with God was designed to work. And Jesus comes in and says, none of that works anymore. God is not in a box. God is not in a building. God is not up in heaven somewhere far away. God is present with you now in me, in Jesus. Jesus is the where. When you ask, where is God? There he is. When you want to see the face of what God is like, look at Jesus. That's what God is like. How do you interact with God? Do you bring your shekels to the temple? Do you offer sacrifices? Or do you follow the one who God has shown us is his very presence in the world? Jesus is the embodiment, he says, of God's presence. Jesus is where heaven and earth meet. Jesus is the way that we, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way that we interact with God. And how do we do that? With an exchange of tit for tat? What I do gets blessings back from you, God? No. It comes from complete, overflowing, undeserved grace. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection is that where we receive those blessings. That's where we receive forgiveness, not with our paltry little gifts or our sacrificial things. No, in Jesus, that's where we interact with God. And we interact with him through grace. Through grace. And where? How do we follow Jesus? How do we follow God? How do we interact with God? To live as Jesus lived. To do justice. To walk humbly with God. To serve others. To love others. To forgive. That's how we interact with God. That's how we follow God. And where do we see God in our lives? In power and in prestige and in success? No, we see the most powerful presence of God on a cross, in suffering, and in darkness and pain. That's where God shows up, where we least expect it. And where does God appear for us? In simple things, like each other. You know, Paul calls us the body of Christ. Christ is alive among us. Where do we see him? Here, everywhere, in the faces of those around us. Or in simple, foolish things like bread and wine. The face of God appears for us there as well. So Jesus overthrows this concept that God is far away up on a mountain or in a building somewhere, that God has to be interacted through various kinds of exchanges. No, we interact and we find the person of God in Christ. And he's there among us and there to feed us for the journey, to lead us. Christ is where we see the face of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.